It's awesome to be here this morning. I actually looked outside my window and I saw the white stuff, and it's the rare moment where I was happy because I just feel like we haven't seen snow in a long time. You feel that way? And so, you know, it's nice. It's that whole drought thing, you know. I was looking at Mount Hood a while ago. I don't think I've ever seen in my time in Portland a bare mountain. It wasn't white anymore. And I felt like something was wrong with the universe. It's like that mountain should be white. So it's a cool thing. And it's good for us to be here this morning. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. It is a truth that is so profound, it is so powerful, that it can literally change your life. It is a promise that is huge. All these things will be added to you. We'll get to that part. Like, what are all these things? Well, it's a lot. I mean, basically, he's saying everything will take care of itself if you get this right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. It's massive. It's a massive, beautiful truth. That's the truth that we'll look at today. In fact, that's the truth that's going to take us into the new year. And it's a truth that I would like to ask you to make a theme truth, a theme verse for your life as you head into the new year. How many people here are happy to head into a new year? Are you happy? I hope you're happy. I'm always happy at the new year. It's a great thing. And I tell you, the last few weeks have been full. Eating and, you know, feasting with family and staying up till like 1 and 2 in the morning. It's just later and later and later. Our house is full. We have kids and grandkids and cats that my son brought. We have 2 cats that are like possessed that have come into my home. Now, I'm not kidding. The other night, this is true. Grandkids are spending the night, and my grandson, Wild, who is actually a barbarian, a 2-year-old, they're spending the night, and I'm like, he wants to sleep in our bed, and I'm like, well, then I'm out. I am out, and my wife's like, see ya. So I'm kicked out of my bed. I'm downstairs. I'm on the couch. This is my home. I'm on the couch. The kid is up in my bed, and the cat comes through the cat door at 3 in the morning with a bird in its mouth that's alive. And I'm looking at this thing, and the cat is moaning. You know how they do the death moan? And there's a bird, and the bird is chirping, and its wing is broken. And I turn on the light, and I'm like, what is happening here? And the cat sees me, and it freaks out, and it lets the bird go, and the bird starts flying around with a broken wing. It's behind the tree. The cat is attacking, climbing the tree to get to the bird, and it's just, I can't believe this. I won't even tell you the rest of the story of how it ended. I'm not going to tell that story in church. I will tell you this morning when I got up, I heard the moan again, and there was a severed rat's head on the stairs. I'm just saying. Okay, so, I mean, it's been a full couple of weeks. And everybody left, and we took the decorations, and we put them away, and it was like the house, we cleaned up the house, and my wife said, it's over. And it's like a new beginning. It's like we're going into the new year. And I went, I like the sound of that. It's awesome. When I look back at the last year, isn't it amazing how many things can happen in a year? I mean, it's truly amazing. You look back and you go, wow. And a lot of it you never saw coming. This is the adventure of the Christian life, too. It's because you know that God is leading, you know the Holy Spirit is guiding, you know that new things are going to come on the horizon, and it's exciting. So I can look back and tell you stuff from last year that I think is amazing that I never saw coming, and it makes me wonder what's going to happen in 2016. You know, it's going to be an amazing year. But I find that as a Christian, it's so important for me to center myself in the Word, to have almost a theme to say, what can I take with me as I head into this year? And by the providence of God, we're in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 this morning. We have been studying the Sermon on the Mount for several months. We took a little break for Christmas, but we're in the Sermon on the Mount, and by God's providence, we've come to word 8 of our 10 words. We're studying the Sermon on the Mount by 10 words that we've picked out of the sermon. And word number 8 is the word kingdom. It's the word kingdom. It appears in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If you need a Bible, raise your hand. I see ushers with Bibles. I'd love for you to follow in the word, because we got a lot of verses to look at today, and I want you to see this. We're going to get the big picture on some things. But by the providence of God, we've come to this great verse, this great promise, and I want you to make it your own. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you kind of a headline up front here today. And I want it to be practical. I want to ask you to do something this year. And along with this is kind of this promise, this sense that if you do this, that you're going to see things happen in your life. You're going to see unexpected things. You're going to see powerful things. You're going to see transformational things in yourself and around you. And I can guarantee this based on the Word of God. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But here's what that looks like. Every day, first thing. Every day, it's a priority. When it says seek first the kingdom, the word first, it means first in order and first in magnitude. It is the priority. If you want to set a priority list for your life, for your year, what about for your day? What if every day you said, this is my first and highest priority, the most important thing of all, and it would go like this: submit your heart and life to Jesus as Lord and King. Submit your heart and life to Jesus as Lord and King. What if you got up every day and you said, that's my highest priority today? That's what I'm going to do today. There's nothing more important than that. Today, I will do that. How would it change your life? Submit your heart and life to Jesus as your King, as your Lord and King, and pray to see his power, to see his authority, to see his purpose accomplished in your life and in the world around you, and then trust him. Trust him with your life. Trust him to do that in your life. I just gave you the program, and that program that I gave you is what I believe it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's how I read it. I knew from the earliest age, when I came to faith in Christ, I read the Sermon on the Mount. I came to Matthew 6:33 and I went, now that's an important verse. You know, it sounds weird to say because they're all important. But sometimes you read a verse and you go, I think that one is kind of really special. And it's a guiding principle for my life. And I knew it, and I knew it was powerful and central to the Christian faith and life. But I didn't totally understand what does it mean. I mean, I kind of get it, seek first the kingdom of God, but what exactly does that mean? How do I do that in my life? What does that look like? What is the kingdom? What does this mean? And so I've been on a quest for years and years. Every time I read that verse and I think about it, I go, what? Lord, show me more. Show me what does this look like? What does this mean? What are you getting at? And when I say every day, make it your first priority, get up and submit your heart and life to Jesus as your Lord and King. Pray to see his power and authority and his purpose accomplished in your life and the world around you, and trust him for it. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm going to unpack that for you this morning and see if I can get you to get on that page with me and see that so that we can do it together this year. Now, in order to do that, we have to go into Bible land. Is that okay? We're at church. We can do this. We can open our Bibles. We have to go into theology land. We have to do some deep thinking about the message of the Bible, because the theme of the kingdom of God is one of the greatest themes in the Bible. It's one of the most gigantic themes in the Bible. It begins on page one of the Bible, and it goes all the way through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it doesn't conclude till the last page of the Bible, when we have a new heavens and a new earth. And it says in Revelation that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. I hear the hallelujah chorus in my mind, right? It's the kingdom. It's a kingdom theme. And it's massive. And Jesus is at the center of it. Jesus is the king. That's what we want to see, so that we can submit our lives to Jesus as our Lord and King. So can I tell you a couple things about the kingdom? We'll set the stage, and then we'll come back and we'll look at Jesus. And I'll tell you why to seek the kingdom means to submit your life to Jesus as King and Lord. First of all, this, the word kingdom in the Bible does not primarily refer to a place. When we think of kingdom, we think location. You know, it's like a nation or it's a kingdom or it's a place. But in the Bible, the word kingdom does not primarily mean that, though it may include it. The word kingdom in the Bible means power, authority, and purpose. That's the best way to summarize it. It means power, authority, purpose. The kingdom of God is the power of God at work in our world, in our lives. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the authority of God established in any situation. That's God as king in that place. The kingdom of God is the purpose of God being accomplished. God the King, his purpose. That's the kingdom of God. Anytime, any place, and every place that God's power is at work, his authority is established, and his purpose is accomplished, that's where he is king. And that's the kingdom of God. That place, wherever it is, anytime, any place, right here, right now. Right here, right now. If God's power is present, if he is the authority in this place, and if his purpose is being accomplished, then we are partaking right now of his kingship, the kingdom of God. So is that making some sense to you? And let me just say one other thing. This is just to get some terminology cleared away, because sometimes when we talk about the kingdom of God, people go, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes in the Bible, it talks about the kingdom of heaven. In the book of Matthew, many times he'll say the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdom of God. And it's used sort of interchangeably. But see, the problem is that, again, we think of heaven as a place. Okay, the kingdom sounds like a place. Heaven sounds like a place. So we go, well, that's not here. That's far away. Somewhere else. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's somewhere else. But in the Bible, heaven is a symbol of the authority of God. It's the place where the throne of God is. It's the place from which God rules over all things. So heaven is just another way of saying the power of God, the authority of God, the purpose of God. It's our God who rules over all things from his heavenly throne. So kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, they're the equivalent, all right? Now we're gonna come back to Jesus in a minute, so don't freak out on me. But in order to get this, we have to actually go all the way to the beginning of the Bible. Where's the very first place we see the kingdom of God in the Bible? We see it on page one of the Bible. That's the first place you'll see the kingdom of God. So go with me to Genesis in chapter one, and I'll show you the kingdom of God. Genesis chapter one, verse one. You'll see the kingdom of God. Here's what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Any power involved in that? If kingdom is power at work, authority and purpose, let's just start with power. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the King, God the all-powerful one, has created all things. That's the way the Bible starts. It's amazing. You know, Genesis chapter 1, a lot of people, if you said, well, what is Genesis 1 about? People would say, oh, it's about creation. But actually, it's only secondarily about creation. You know what Genesis 1 is really about? It's about the Creator. It's about the Creator, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the subject, creation is the object, and over 50 times in Genesis 1, what we see is what God is doing. God created, God spoke, God said, let there be light. God divided the light from the darkness. God assigns, he names, he separates. It's about what God does in his power and his authority. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I see power and I see authority. God has the authority now over his creation. He's establishing his authority over the created world. It's our Lord, it's our King, it's our Creator. It's amazing. And can I just say as a sidebar, if you can allow yourself to accept Genesis 1, verse 1, it's going to clear up a lot of things in your life. It's going to clear up, the fog is going to lift on your life. If you could say, I believe that in the beginning, God, in infinite power and authority, created everything that is. Wow. Now that makes it actually pretty easy to believe anything else in the Bible. I mean, after that, it's like, okay, I guess he can do whatever he wants, right? Isn't it funny how when the attack of unbelief comes in our life, so often it starts right at that point. Like, well, I don't really know if God made everything. And how do we really know? And who was before God? I mean, what was God doing before he created the earth? You know what Luther said? God was cutting switches with which to flog inquisitive questioners. That's a bad answer, by the way. And so then we get into philosophy. If you can just give yourself permission to just simply say, yeah, God created the world. And now you have power and you have authority. But what if you could add to that purpose? That God has a purpose. Take a look at Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 27, 28. Genesis 1, 27, now at the sort of the pinnacle of this God the King and power and authority creating and ordering the world, it says in verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them, and God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And with those words, we discover the purpose of God in his creation. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has something that he's up to. It's something that's important to him. He creates mankind in his image, male and female. He gives them dominion over the earth. God has a purpose that he's working out here. Okay? Kingdom means power, authority, and purpose, and God has a purpose. What is it that gives dignity and value to human life? I mean, what is it? You could say, well, it's just because we're more complicated and more complex and highly ordered than any other creature, and we speak with advanced language and communication, and we send a probe to Mars and stuff like that, so we're of more value. And all of that would be just based on what we do. But what if our purpose or what if our value was determined not just by our complexity, but by the will of God? What if we were able to say, this is God's purpose. This is God's design, that your life has meaning, that your life has value, that you're significant. He has a plan and a purpose for humanity and for each of our lives. Isn't that amazing? Can I tell you something? Genesis 1, chapter 1, if you just give yourself permission to accept the basic truths that are revealed in chapter 1, it will clear up so many things in your life. So many things. That's the way the Bible starts. That's to tease it all up. Everything's teed up. God the King, powerful, authoritative, and with a purpose for mankind in the world. That's where the Bible starts. It's amazing. It's the kingdom of God. You see it right in chapter 1 of Genesis. But then things go sideways real fast, don't they? And we know the story. We're just reviewing the biblical story. You get to chapter 3 and sin, rebellion against God. The man and woman turn away. They go their own way. They want to be their own boss, their own Lord. Like, no, we'll take it from here. And because of that, what we call the fall, and it's a big one. It's like you come to the edge and you go, it's the fall of mankind because of sin. Now we have a world in which the power and the authority and the purpose of God are not so clearly seen. And there's a great spiritual battle going on for the hearts and minds, men and women, for the purpose of God. And the rest of the Bible, now this is just the story of the Bible, the rest of the entire Bible is God saying, I will restore my kingdom. I will restore my power, my authority, and my purpose for humanity. The whole Bible, that's the entire Bible all the way through to the book of Revelation. Isn't that amazing? So the kingdom of God, when I say the kingdom of God is this massive, giant theme in the Bible, it is. It is. And you know who's at the center of it? Jesus. Jesus is the center of the story. And that's so amazing and so obvious when you read the Bible. So now we're going to move towards the New Testament. Let's go to Isaiah, and we'll look at a verse that we actually looked at on Christmas Eve. It was our Christmas verse. Remember we talked about, if you came to not the 11 o'clock, but one of the other services, we talked from Isaiah chapter 9 about light and darkness and how God brings light into darkness. It's a Christmas promise of God. But the way he fulfills that promise is through what? A child born to us. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, and the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Now, that's great stuff. That's gospel stuff. That's Christmas stuff. That's Jesus at the center, and it's at the middle of the Bible. So we went from Genesis, now we're in the middle of the Bible. We're headed toward the New Testament. We're headed toward the gospel, and what do we find? God promises, I will restore my kingdom. I will bring light into the darkness. You'll see my power, you'll see my authority, you'll see my purpose fulfilled, and it's all going to be through this child that will be born. This amazing, promised one who will be a king on the throne of David. He's a king. And we know it's King Jesus. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the one. Jesus has come into this world to restore the world. To unleash God's power, come into the world, to establish God's authority, and to accomplish God's purpose. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus does. No wonder then that when Jesus comes and begins his ministry, here's what Jesus said. I'm going to read it from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It's stated differently and many ways in the gospels, but this is the one that I think is clearest for us. Mark chapter 1. Now, this is the beginning of Jesus in his ministry. Jesus shows up, says, I'll tell you what I'm about. This is what the program is. This is what I'm doing. Here it is. Mark 1:14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus says, now I'll tell you what I'm about. The time is fulfilled. What time? The time that God has pointed to throughout the whole Bible. The kingdom of God is at hand. At hand means you can reach out and touch it. You know, something that's at hand, it's like, it's at hand. It's here. It's here. He didn't mean it's near in time, like it's here, like it's coming soon. He meant it's here, you can reach out and touch it. Why? Because Jesus is the King. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He comes with the power, the authority, and the purpose of God into the world. He makes these dramatic claims about himself, and then he proves it. He shows it. Can I show you some pictures of King Jesus? Why would I show you pictures of King Jesus? Because I want you to love him. I want you to trust him, and I want you to submit your life to him. Everyone is submitted to something. Oh, if you could see Jesus, if you could see the reality of Jesus, King Jesus, you'd want to submit your life to him every day. So we go back to Matthew and tell you what I'm going to do because it's just too many verses. And so I'm just going to tell you a story from Matthew 8. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. You can even just look at the headings. Right after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about his kingdom and that he's the king. And now he basically says, okay, I'm going to prove it now. And we have pictures of King Jesus in Matthew 8 and 9. Just photo after photo after photo op of King Jesus at work. You can just read the heading. The first heading in John or in Matthew 8, it says Jesus cleanses a leper. Isn't that a great story? Everyone is running from this guy, and this guy comes up to Jesus and says, oh man, if you're willing, I know that you can make me whole. And Jesus says, I am willing. And he reaches out and puts his hand on him. King Jesus, with the power and the authority and the purpose of God. And he heals that guy and he restores that guy. That's a picture of Jesus, your king. That's what he does. That's what he came to do. He does that right now. Right now. I spoke with someone in the first service who was healed of cancer. Just remarkably healed of cancer. Just miraculously healed of cancer. Was given no chance of survival. I say that's King Jesus through prayer. Healing. How amazing is that? What a beautiful picture of Jesus. The next story is the faith of the centurion. You remember when the Roman centurion comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I'm not worthy. Don't even come to my house, but please, my servant is sick. And he says to Jesus, he says, you know, I'm a man under authority just like you. And I know all about authority. And I know that if you just speak the word, my servant will be healed because you have authority. You're King Jesus. You have authority. Jesus marveled at his faith. He said, go your way. Your servant is healed. Got home. The guy was healed. Why? Because Jesus has the authority to do that. Jesus is King and he's Lord. And the story goes on throughout these chapters. Chapter 8, Jesus calms a storm. He's out on the sea. A storm comes up. He calms the storm. The disciples are amazed. They go, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What kind of authority, what kind of power does he have? Then he casts out demons from people, bound by the power of darkness. Jesus says, I have authority over that. Chapter 9, he forgives a guy of his sins. And the people really get upset by that. Who has the authority to forgive sins but God alone, they say. And Jesus answers and says, well, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to a paralyzed guy, get up and walk? And they're thinking, they're both kind of hard. So Jesus says, get up and walk, to prove that he could forgive sins. And people marveled at the authority of Jesus. I'm giving you pictures of King Jesus. This is our King. This is our Savior. This is the one who's come for us. This is our compassionate Lord. He's beautiful. And wouldn't you want to follow him? Jesus said, follow me. But you know, to follow Jesus means to submit to him. Wouldn't you want to follow Jesus? Wouldn't you want that treasure of Jesus. You know, to find King Jesus in your life is like finding a great treasure. Jesus himself said so. I'll show you. It's in Matthew chapter 13. I mean, we could just stay in Matthew all day with this kingdom stuff. Matthew 13 and in verse 31. Jesus put a parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Go on, Matthew 13, verse 44. 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. This kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. And this guy stumbles upon it. He goes, this is so amazing. Who wouldn't want this treasure? And he just trades in everything that he has, that he can go and then he can buy up this treasure. And he does it with great joy. The treasure is Jesus, the King. Finding Jesus, following Jesus. That's the treasure. So, now we're going to get back after all that. That's just a big theological statement. Now we're going to get back to our key verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. What if Jesus is saying, I'm the king. I have brought God's power and authority and purpose, and I will do that in your life. But to seek the kingdom, you must submit to me, the king. You can't have the kingdom without the king. Would you submit your life to Jesus? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest. But a yoke was used to basically yoke animals together so that they could be led and they could work and produce something. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. You need to submit unto me. Submit to Jesus, the King. So now I'm getting practical. What if this year, every day, you said, man, I want that treasure. I want to know God's purpose in my life. I want to see God's power in my life. I want to see things happen. And so I'm going to bring my life to Jesus and submit myself to him as my King. If you did that, what would that look like? What would it even mean? We went to Singapore, and before we landed, they hand you these little cards, and it's like for when you go through customs, and they want to know if you're bringing stuff, and they have instructions on it, and put your visa number on there. And then in bold block print, it said something to the effect, if you bring drugs in, you will be put to death. And I looked at my wife and said, does your card say the same thing that mine does? Because it basically says, if I do the wrong thing, they're going to kill me. And she goes, yeah, that's what it says on my card too. Welcome to Singapore, you know. In the U.S., we legalize drugs. Over there, they just kill you. You know, and I'm going in there, I'm flying in, and I'm going, this place is different. There's a different authority, a different program, a different purpose. And there's different rules here. They actually have a T-shirt in Singapore. It's really funny because they have a lot of rules there. And the T-shirt says, chewing gum, $1,000 fine. Welcome to Singapore. Littering, $1,000 fine. Urinating in the street, which, you know, we don't do so much over here, but I guess over there maybe they do more. And they're like, $1,000 fine. I mean, everything was $1,000 fine, you know. Or caning, they'll cane you. They'll beat you, you know. And I'm thinking, man, the rules are different in this place. It's a different kingdom. It's a different authority, different rules. Let's transfer that a minute to you seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. It's his kingdom. He gets to make up the rules of how we live and why we do what we do and how. It's Jesus' kingdom. And it's amazing. It's beautiful. But you know what the problem is? In our lives, we don't want to submit to anything or anybody. We want to be the boss of our own life and to live our own life and to live as king and Lord of our life and then just have Jesus come along and just help us when we need him. But that's not how the kingdom works. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Submit your life to Jesus, the king. We have a hard time with that. There's a famous picture that was painted in 1914, and it's called His Majesty the King. And it was hanging like in the royal art thing in London. And it's just a picture. His Majesty the King is a picture of basically a toddler, just dressed up really nice, holding a toy, looking super arrogant, walking across the street with a nanny following behind with all these toys, like carrying these toys. And the policemen have stopped traffic. They're like blocking everyone out. And horse carts are stopping and everybody's stopping to let this child go by. And the painting's called His Majesty the King. And you know who walked in and saw that? Sigmund Freud. He walked in. He said, that's it. That's it. And he wrote this whole thing about His Majesty the King. He said, that explains human behavior. From infancy, we learn, if I cry, stuff happens. You know, you cry, you get food. You whine, you know, you smile, you get something. It's amazing. It's His Majesty the King. I'm telling you. My grandson kicked me out of bed. He's like, get out of here. I'm king here. All right? Like, you're nothing. I'm in control of this place. And Freud said, His Majesty the King becomes His Majesty the adolescent, becomes His Majesty the young adult, becomes His Majesty the adult. And that's on steroids in our culture. It is the culture of self, 100%. And Jesus comes and says, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Let me be the king of your life. Submit to me in your life and watch what happens. What would it look like in your life? Now the Lord will show you. He'll show you what it means to submit your life to him in every area of your life. But what if you got up every day and you said, this is my number one priority today? I mean, I'm serious, every day, for a year. You get up every day and you go, first thing, I'm gonna submit my life to Jesus as king. I wanna see King Jesus in my life. And then you pray to see his power, to see the Lord's authority and his purpose in your life that day. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. It's right here in Matthew. Remember, we studied it in Matthew chapter 6. Remember the Lord's Prayer? How are we supposed to pray? In verse 9, Jesus said, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Jesus taught us to pray every day. How are we supposed to pray? Well, we start with God because he's the king. He's the sovereign. We start with him. We acknowledge him and his glory. And then we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. What does that mean? Power, authority, purpose. Your will, that's the purpose of God. That's how he taught us to pray. What if every day you got up and you said, I'm submitting my life to Jesus as Lord, and now I'm praying to see his power, his authority, his purpose accomplished in my life and in my world. And I'm trusting him for everything else, because then it goes, give us each day our daily bread. You know what that is? That's the everything else we'll be taken care of. God will provide for you. Do you have your priorities right? Are you seeking the Lord, submitting to him to do his will? Man, it'd be so powerful if we did that in our lives. So you submit, you pray, see his power and authority in your life, and then you trust him. You trust. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you now. You know, back to our main passage in chapter 6, and we'll kind of tie it up with this. We'll go to verse 31 through 34. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What are all the other things? He says, all these other things will be added to you. You know what those things are? It's whatever you need. God knows what you need. God's going to take care of you. Can you trust him? Like, will you trust him for your life? So seeking first the kingdom of God means trusting him. Trust him for the rest. Trust him for the details. Trust him for the provision. Trust him enough so that it doesn't so much occupy your mind. I have to be successful. I have to make more money. I've got to provide for all these things. I've got to have security. And so we're so stressed out by that that we can't bring ourselves and just submit ourselves to Jesus and begin to look for his purpose in our life. So you got to trust the Lord. I want you to trust the Lord. What if in 2016, every day you trusted the Lord? Submit, pray, trust. What if every day you do that? How powerful could that be in your life? We need to trust him even when we don't see him. Now, I'm up here talking about Jesus, and he's the king and the power and authority and all this stuff and miracles and God healing people, and you're going, that's awesome. But I don't see that. I don't see that. I mean, sometimes I see stuff like that, but not all the time. What about trusting him when you can't see him? That's part of the program too. So, you know, I read at the wrong time the verse, but I'm going to reread it right now. It was from Matthew 13, the parable. I'll just read verse 33, another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leaven. Jesus is teaching, what is his kingship like right now? Now, someday he'll come back and all will be seen and every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, Jesus is Lord. Someday that's going to happen. That's Book of Revelation stuff. But what about right now? Well, right now, Jesus the King is at work, but sometimes that work seems hidden to us. It's like leaven. It's like hidden in there. It's working. You can't see it. It's working. Do you trust the Lord that he's working even when you can't see it? That's the way the kingdom works right now, in the here and now. Trust him for that. Keep looking for the work of God. Keep trusting him. He's going to take care of you. He's going to do stuff in 2016. That's his promise to us. It's beautiful. You know, Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, and rose again on the third day. That's like the high point of the gospel. That's how God reestablishes his kingdom. That's how he takes care of the sin of Adam and Eve and the guilt and the shame. He takes care of all of it on the cross. And then he rises up in victory over all the powers of darkness. And he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Matthew 28:18. That's Jesus. That's our Lord. We're saved by grace through faith, by the power and the work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. That's his gift to us. And now he sends us and he says, now I'm sending you. I'm sending you to be on mission with me to a hurting world, to be a part of this kingdom work. That's what he's doing. It's his gift to us. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I know this sermon covered a lot of ground. But that's okay. If it went too fast for you, go back online and listen to it. Look up the verses and get this understanding of this great promise, this great calling in our lives. What if every day we live this out in 2016? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. Let's say a prayer.